Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 and following says this. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, 'See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people.'" And then I just want to jump up to Isaiah 52 and verse 7, which is the verse that we read today in Romans chapter 10 already, but we'll go ahead and read it again in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. Scripture says the following: "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" When you listen to those two verses, or those two passages, we'll notice that there is an important message that has to be brought forth. If you remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah received his call, what exactly was he supposed to go and tell the people? Does anybody remember? Could have been good news. Yeah. Any other ideas? It was good news in the sense that it was bringing a message to the people who were going to be receiving possible judgment. And he was bringing that message because they had to hear that judgment was coming. And so in a real sense, it was good news for them, because if they did not respond to the message in repentance, what would happen? Judgment would come. So God sent a message to them. And so we find that in Isaiah chapter 52 as well as chapter 6, there is a certain urgency to get a message out to the people. And so today, as you and I begin to think about the urgency of getting a message out, I think we'll find that as we look at the scriptures today, we would all be in agreement that the scriptures apply equally today as they did back how many years ago? When did Isaiah write? Something like 2,700 years ago. And we can say that the Word of God is still equally applicable into our lives. The Bible is timeless. The Word of God is eternal. And so it really doesn't matter when we look at, as we look at the scriptures and we see how they apply to us, whether we're people today who live in a place like this, here in the U.S., where you can find people, and I imagine probably some of you will have iPhones and smartphones and all kinds of different mechanisms, right? Some of you probably have those things. Or you can go into Mexico, in southern Mexico, right along the Guatemalan border in the state of Chiapas, which is very rural, and you'll go and find an Alliance pastor's house where we were in, where it's just a two-room house, has dirt floor. They have no electricity, no refrigeration. And you'll find, you know, the kitchen is outside, the bathroom is outside. Very rural place, but you find that the people, whether they're here or there, have the same basic need. And that need is to do what? To hear. Right? To hear about the message of Jesus. And for most of us today, at least the statistics will say that we will live here in the United States, I think up to like 76 years of the average, somewhere around there. But people in general are going to live between 50 and 80 years. And so we would think that with 80 years of possible life, that everybody would at one time or another hear the message or have access to the message of Jesus. Right? Seems like everybody. And we wonder, is it even possible that people today would not be hearing this message? But if we were to go to places like Mexico, and I think you could probably find people here in this general area, you will find people that have not heard the message. It's kind of incredible to think that. But you can find people today that, you know, they probably heard the name Jesus, but they have no idea what the message is, what Jesus did for them. And I found this out to be true in Mexico. In Mexico, we, in our national church, one of our pastors, name of Tomás Bencomo, has been working up in the area just to the south of El Paso, Texas, in the city called Ciudad Juárez. And Tomás has been a pastor there for over 30 years, and he has one very large church, and he's planted a bunch of small churches in Ciudad Juárez. But God placed another call on his life back about 25 years ago to begin to do missionary work with a group of people called the Tarahumara Indians. Tarahumara Indians are located in what we would, if you've been to Mexico, anybody, I don't know if anybody's been to that area of Mexico, but there's a place called the Copper Canyon where you can go, and it's basically mountains and big canyons, and you can go on trains. You can go through this area. Well, Tomás has been have received a call from God to go into this area and begin to work with a group of Indians in that area. The Mexican government, for the most part, has not had any contact with these Indians for really hundreds of years. They just really don't do anything with them. They just kind of let them be and don't touch them. And so God began to put on Tomás's heart to go into this people group. And as he began to go, and he arrived into where they were at, he found some interesting things that were there. One of the things that he noticed, first of all, among this people group was that they had never heard the name Jesus. They had no idea who he was. He also found a great deal of need among the people. The people, once he began to get to know the people, they began to talk to him and share some of the needs of their hearts, and they began to tell him, Tomás, some families at nighttime will take their children and put them out in the mountains. And why do you think they would do that? Because this people group is literally dying. It's dying out. Starvation is one of the main problems among this people. And other people would say there are families who will go the entire family to a cliff and jump off. Why? Because they can't feed themselves. And so there are great spiritual needs and great physical needs among this people group. And as Tomás began to go in and work with these people, he then began to meet both of those needs, to bring food, to bring school, to bring all kinds of things into these people, and to bring the message of Jesus as well. And so we see today that there was a church among the Tarahumara, simply because God placed a call on a man's life 25 years ago, and he decided to go. Well, we can find today people just like that here. You know, same kind of thing. Maybe not starving, but I imagine also there are people that starve here. What they need is to hear the message. Most all of us today, I think, would agree that there is access to the gospel here, right? If somebody wants to know about Jesus, where do they have to go? They could come here, right? They could turn on TV, radio. There's Bible studies. You have the Bible written in your own language. There are many, many ways for people to actually have access and hear the message. But I think we'll come to the conclusion that it takes more than just access, more than just having these things available in order for people actually to come to know Jesus. And that's where I think we come to we'll come and begin to see that where Romans chapter 10 fits into this picture. As those verses were read, and if you remember Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, we notice that what Paul says here is he gives a series of questions. And in these questions, he expects a certain type of answer. And this is what he says. I'm just going to go ahead and read 13 to 15 once again. This is what Paul says. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That verse in and of itself is a quote from the Old Testament. And that is a verse that gives a lot of hope. Because it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's a promise. But then he goes on to say this. He says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So as you look at those questions, I believe there's five questions, what type of response does Paul expect you to give? He says, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Is that possible? Can they? How are they going to do that? How can someone believe in the one? It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? These are impossibilities. It can't happen. And so what Paul is saying to us, and what the conclusion is that we come from this, is that we need much, much more than just having access to a message. People literally have to hear with their ears the message of Jesus in order to be able to respond. That's why, as we go on to say in verse 17, Paul would say what? What does he say to us? He says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And that message is heard through the word about Christ. So people today, whether they're in Mexico or here in the United States, the great need they have, I believe, today is they must hear. People have to hear the message. And if they don't hear the message, then what will happen to them, most likely? They probably aren't going to respond. I imagine that most all of you had to hear the message in order to make a choice for Jesus. Maybe someone just happened to read the word on their own and responded. But the majority of us have had to have heard the message. And when that message is heard, then we can respond. So I think today, as we look at the world around us, we can probably say that one of the greatest needs in the world today is for people to actually hear the message. And that's a great need in Mexico, just like it is here in the States. In Mexico, access is also available. Churches are virtually everywhere in Mexico. There's one town by the name of Cholula, just outside of Mexico City. They have about 30,000 people, so it'll be about the size of Greensburg. 365 churches in that town. They have a church you can go to every single day, a different one, during the year, if you wanted to. But yet, if you were to go to that town, you would find probably that 95% of the people or more, although they can go to church, do not know who Jesus is. They have no relationship with him. In Mexico today, there are 125 million people. If you were to ask take the statistics from the country, it would say 120 million people in Mexico today are Christian. So why should we go to Mexico then? They're all Christians. At least that's what it says. But you could ask those 120 million people the question, then, what does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus? And they could not answer the question, because they don't know what that means. The great need for people is to hear the message, not to follow traditions, not to simply go to church. It has to be more than just access. So if the great need then is access, we come to a second point, which is, what is then the great crisis in the world? As we've talked about today, there are many, many things that we could say are crises, right? Many different things. You can look at France, you can look at other parts of the world and say that all these attacks, those are crisis situations for people. If you would ask Pastor Tomas down in Mexico, he might say starvation is a crisis situation. If you talk to people here in the States, where there's been a lot of attacks we've seen in high schools and places like that, they would say a great crisis is there. For Isaiah, the great crisis was what? His people were facing going to exile. A lot of different things are crises. But I think that we can come to the conclusion that although all of those things are very important and significant, the greatest crisis is the fact that people today still don't hear this message. Something that seems incredible to us, but it is what is happening. How can it be that people today don't hear this message? How long did it take you folks yesterday to find out, or on Friday to find out about those attacks in France? Yeah, well, maybe a second. You pull out your computer or your smartphone, whatever it is, you push a button, it's all right in front of you. If you go back 25 years, let's go back to 1990, if the same thing happens, probably how long does it take for you to get that information? For some of us, probably we're still working with newspapers, it would be 2 days or a day, day and a half. Take all that time just to get the basic stuff. And today, instantly, we know what's going on. And so, with all the technology, how is it possible that today people still don't hear about Jesus? Access is everywhere, but yet they still don't hear. What is it that Jesus says about this problem, and what needs to happen to solve the problem? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, something very important, and this is what he says. He says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So what is the solution that Jesus has to the problem of hearing the message? He says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached." Someone's got to preach the message, right? And it's not just your pastor. All of us. The Great Commission's been given to every single one of us today to bring the message to people who have not heard. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to a place like Mexico or you have to go to Africa. It can be right here as well. Matthew 24:14, very important. If people hear this message, then we can say that Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 will begin to be fulfilled. Because that verse tells us what? Tells that every tribe, language, and people will appear in what place? Before the throne. Right? Why? Because Jesus died for them, shed his blood for them, and when they hear the message, they respond. Today, the Tarahumara Indians, there will be people at that site, at the throne, because God placed a call on Pastor Tomas, and he went, and they heard the message. As we begin to think, then, what is our responsibility? Because each one of us today has a responsibility before God to do and to serve him. So what would be our responsibility in a day today when people have not heard or are not hearing this message? What would our responsibility be? You know, we can take Matthew 28:19, and Jesus, the last words that he said in Matthew's gospel right before he would be ascended, he said what to the disciples? He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of who? Of all nations." Who are the nations? I used to think they were countries, you know? But if you look at the word that Jesus actually used, it's the word ethnos, or ethnic. And so when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he was saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the people groups in the world today." How many people groups are out there in the world? They say 9,700 people groups are in the world. Of those, approximately 3,700 do not know Jesus, have not heard the message, do not have access to the message. That's roughly what, 40%? Of all the people groups today, as they wake up, they do not have access to the message. So as we begin to think about Matthew 24:14, when it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to all nations," and then what will happen? The end will come. That means Jesus will come back. There's a lot of work to be done to fulfill the Great Commission. A lot of things have to happen. And God wants to use who? Us. Yeah, you and me. And that's why it says, "Go, therefore," in Matthew 28:19. And if you remember in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus also speaks and tells us that the harvest is what? It is great or plentiful. And he says, "The laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field." The last part of that verse, who's that addressed to? It says, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers." It's addressed to us to pray and ask God if he would want us to be one of the laborers, those who are few. What will we do? How do we respond to what Jesus says? I think that for each one of us today, as we begin to consider our part, and every one of us has a part in the Great Commission, every one of us has a part in missions, we have to ask God, "Well, what do you want me to do? And with who?" As Pastor Tomas Bencomo was working with the Tarahumara Indians, many times he would go in, and they live in the mountains, they live in cliffs, and it's just a really desolate place as you would go in there. And as he would go in, he would say to the people, "You know, there's just nothing here." Absolutely nothing around. Just mountains. And the Tarahumara would say, "That's not true, because you can look to the north, south, east, and west, and all these mountains, it appear to be just barren, and there are people back in there. You don't see them, but they're there. And so as Tomas began to pray, God placed on him a second people group to go and to begin to minister to, a people group called the Pima. And the Pima were about 3 or 4 hours more into the mountains where Tomas went. Tomas used to go in on horseback and mule. That was the only way to get into these places. And as he would travel into the Tarahumaras, he would have to go now further in to find these people. Only going because God placed a call on his life. God asked him to go, and he decided to go. And as he went in, and he began to do expeditionary trips to be able to find the Pima, word got out before he would even get there that he was coming. Because these people, as you can imagine, don't really want foreigners to come in. And even though Tomas is Mexican, to them he's a foreigner. And so as he would come into these areas, the people were very reticent. They didn't want to really meet with him. But there was one man, as he came to one of the Pima communities, who lived at the very entrance into the community, and the man was an old man, and he invited Tomas to come into his house. And so they began to talk a little bit. Tomas would just talk with him and spend time with him, and then he'd leave. And this happened many, many times. And people began to ask Tomas, you know what, what's the point? Why do you make this extra trip going way, way in there, and nothing's happening? What's the point of going? And Tomas simply just kept on going in. And then on one occasion, Tomas came to the same house. The man opened up the door and went in and sat down and began to talk. And the man said to Tomas, Tomas, I want you to build a church on my land. And his mouth began to pretty much drop. Because in these kind of communities, who is the one that makes decisions?
Elder.
What's that?
The elder.
Yeah. In this case, it would be the chief. Only one guy makes decisions for these communities. The guy in charge. And little did Tomas know, the entire time he'd been going into this community, he had been meeting with the chief, the main person. And God began to work through what Tomas said and shared with this man. And the man said, I want a church here. And so today, among the Pima, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 lives. Because there are going to be Pima at that throne. Because Tomas heard the message, or heard the call. He went to these people. He spoke, he preached. They heard the message and responded. But if Tomas doesn't go, what happens to the Pima? They just live and they die. And things continue, and they never come to know Jesus. Somebody has to go to the people groups of the world. So in Mexico, there are over 160 ethnic groups. It's a lot of people. A lot of groups that don't know Jesus. 63 language groups and many more dialects who don't have the message today in their own language. They have no access. Jesus, I believe, wants people to go to these people groups. That's what the Great Commission was. Go and make disciples of all people groups, all nations. And so the challenge I want to leave with you folks today is to consider, how do you fit into the Great Commission? Maybe some of you would not be able to actually go to one of these places. But probably some of you could. God has to call. And when God places a call on your life to go, what do? Simply obey. That's all Pastor Tomas did. God asked him to go to the Tarahumaras, asked him to go to the Pimas, people group that most people would have said, what's the point of going to these places? You're lucky if you get out alive. And he went. And God responded, the people responded, and now people will come before the throne. The message was heard. That is the privilege that you and I have today, to bring this message to people that have not heard. But no matter where God calls you, speak the message. Preach the word so they can hear the message and respond. I had all kinds of access when I was growing up. In my family, although we didn't go to church very much, probably went 2 or 3 times a year, every single day when I would walk down the stairs in my house, I would see a picture of Jesus on the wall with the Lord's Prayer. I can't say that I read that thing probably more than 3 or 4 times. in 18 years. In my basement, we had a huge Bible, wide open. I never read it. In fact, I was afraid to read it. I didn't want to touch it. And there are a lot of people like that. A lot of people are living in fear. They don't know what the message is. And finally, when I was 16 years old, somebody told me the message. The only message I knew about Jesus when I was a kid, the only message I ever got about him was, what do you think? Swears. That's all I knew. People were swearing, using his name in vain. My family. That's what the message was to me. That's what the message is to people today around you, I imagine. And somebody told me the message when I was 16. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 came into effect. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the message. Someone's got to tell the message. You can be that person. Just listen to what God is saying.